There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com. Stage Door.
Yes, indeed. With a fanfare, we are opening up the stage door for the first time in 2018. So I shall say Happy New Year to Wesley Newfarmer, who joins us.
Happy New Year to you too. Good to be here.
Yeah, we've also got Gautam from The Junction.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Hey. Sabiha, who's the festival coordinator at Short and Sweets.
Hello, Happy New Year.
And Rosine, who I'm told just does everything. She acts, she directs, she sweeps up the stage floor. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Great to have you guys along as ever for Stage Door. You've just come back from your travels, haven't you?
I went to South America and I went to the United States. My sister just had her first baby, and so we spent a couple weeks there. It was really great. And then right in the winter for the States.
Yeah, did you see any theater while you were away?
I didn't see a single thing. No. Now you're waking up in the middle of the night to help feed the baby, help chain the baby. You're not going to worry about theater at that point.
Right. Okay, so we're into a brand new year, Gautam. What's going to be happening with you guys over at The Junction?
Well, we're starting off with a bang. We've got Sherlock coming in, a threefold murder mystery coming up on the 18th onwards. And then right after that, we have the biggest event on the theatre calendar in Dubai, which is Short and Sweet, which takes up 6 whole weeks. So starting from the 26th of January.
It's not that short, is it?
No, it's not. It'll go on all the way till the 3rd of March. So 6 straight weeks of Short and Sweet then.
We've got Sabiha, who's the festival coordinator for that. Tell us more about Short and Sweet. What can we expect from it?
Well, Short and Sweet, as everyone knows, is a 10-minute play festival. So like every year, this year we have a mix of plays, comedy, drama, mystery, whatever you want, you've got it in Short and Sweet. We have some of the best directors, theater companies participating, a lot of new people in here. In short, a lot of theater happening in the next 6 weeks and a lot of meeting and greeting people. So it's going to be all fun.
What kind of topics do the productions look at?
Well, we are open to any kind of topics in Short and Sweet. It's about creativity, whatever you can come up with and best present on stage. So there's no restriction as such on the genres or...
Yeah. So what I've seen in the past is I've seen sci-fi, I've seen drama, I've seen romance, comedy... and everything else in between. So 80 odd plays, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And over 200 odd actors involved.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, last time we spoke, Gautam, you said it's as much work to put together a 10-minute production as it is a full-length one.
Correct. Absolutely.
I'm still trying to get my head around that. Why is that?
It's the same effort needed because you still need to practice. Also, although the duration is less for a 10-minute play, you have to give a lot of impact in those 10 minutes. It's a festival, but it's also competition, and you have to really do your best to stand out. So I guess also telling a story in 10 minutes is not as easy as telling a story in 2 hours. You know, you get to do the beginning, middle, and end in a 2-hour show, and people can grow in that 2 hours with the story. But in 10 minutes, it's all very cut. So the effort is pretty much the same, but in a different way. People start rehearsing as early as 2 months before the festival or 3 months before the festival, just like a full-length play.
And I imagine you also still have to have set costumes, lights, that kind of
thing.
It still exists in a full-length play or a short play. And I think from an administrative level, you're also coordinating all of these different plays in and out all the time. You have lots of set changes just like you have in a big show. And so the amount of effort is actually the same, if not more, in these really complicated events.
Mm. Rosine, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I've done Short and Sweet for 4 years and I'm even an award winner.
Tell me about that.
I won the best script in 2016. It was the first Emirati English play, and it was based in Emirat with Emirati actors.
Yeah.
And it was about the bureaucracy. It was a comedy, a full comedy. And I would agree that it takes lots of time, lots of coordination, lots of logistics, and for the couple of years I was on board, so I was always in charge of the front door and greeting and meeting. There's lots of greeting and lots of meeting
and controlling.
I was hated by almost everyone because I had to keep everyone quiet outside. And
you're kind of the first person they hate when they come to Short and Sweet, right?
It's
the one who mans the door.
Yeah, and even though this year the management has changed, we still have faith that hopefully they can pull it off as much as the previous management had.
Mm. So, I mean, what is it like backstage at Short and Sweet?
There's murder, deceit.
No, mystery.
It's a lot of fun. It's as a performer and having participated in the last five Short and Sweets, it's great because you meet a lot of people from different parts of the theater community, people you don't meet the entire year. Everybody comes out, participates. Each play is different. There's a lot of encouragement by each of the actors, directors, and teams. And you're all sharing one big green room. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. So I've always enjoyed the atmosphere.
So how many people are in this green room at any given time?
I think about 20, I would say, at least 20.
This was the hard part of my job because I had to keep 20 to 30 actors overexcited, super quiet, mm-hmm. so no sound can go into the theater.
That's true.
This is why I'm hated.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's spread over 6 weeks. How does it all work and how do you put it all together? And how many plays can people see at one time?
So we have two categories in Short and Sweet. Like every year, it's a top 40 category and then there's the wild cards. Each category has about 10 plays each week. So we're talking about 40 in top 40 and then 40 in wild cards. So total of 80 plays is what they can expect to see. Each show will have about 10.
Right, so it's a lot of producing.
Yeah, that's great. That's
together,
great. I can't wait to go as an audience member. This is really exciting.
Yeah.
And so I really like how the festival director Alex puts it. He always says, if you like what you're seeing, it only lasts for 10 minutes. And if you don't like what you're seeing,
it still lasts for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, we can put up with anything for 10 minutes, can't we? Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, when you won the award, yeah. I mean, you must have been very proud. I mean, yeah. Is it quite an accolade to win an award at a Short and Sweet
Festival?
We were
proud.
Yes, it is a very pride moment, honestly. Like when you are called, we were at Madinat. We used to do the gala final at Madinat. We were at Madinat and being called on stage with five other big writers here, and then win the award and hold it in your hand and thank everybody and thank your team. It is a really big pride to win an award in Madinat Theatre for Short and Sweet.
Was it like the Oscars?
Yeah, exactly. And I was well dressed. I had a long gown.
So of these 80 plays, how many are originally written and people in Dubai?
Usually we used to have around 20 to 30% written in Dubai and sometimes even more. And the competition was very tough between the writers. And most of the plays are usually imported from other cities and done here. And when a play is produced in one of the cities of the festival, it shouldn't be reproduced again.
Gotcha.
This is a very important part of the plays that are produced here.
Stage Door.
Yeah, we're talking everything going on stages around the city of Dubai. We've got the whole team with us this afternoon. Wesley Newfarm is here.
Hey there.
Also, Gautham from The Junction.
Hey, hey.
Sabiha from Short and Sweet.
Hi.
And we've got Rosine, who does everything and everything. And you've got something on the boil that you want to talk about.
Yes, I've got something. We are working on a project. I'm working with two very talented ladies. I'm working with Inara Joy and Peri Desai. And we are working on a play that will be originally written here in Dubai.
Yeah.
Peri will be taking the charge of the full writing. Inara and Peri and myself are putting on the concept. And it will be a full-length play. We're very excited about it. Mm-hmm. We're starting to gather our team and get people on board. And we thought of a unique concept that I don't feel very comfortable disclosing it now because we're still working on it. But
keeping it under
industry
wraps.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, this is a new project that we're working on that's going to take most of our time for now.
Right.
Any idea when you want to have it go up?
Hopefully beginning of the next season.
So in the fall.
Yeah, because like as we all know, the theater season here in Dubai closes around May. Mm-hmm. So maybe during the fall, October, November, maybe Gautam will get a phone call from us or something.
Sure, look forward to it.
But it's funny, it seemed last year, you know, you say that the season closes. It seemed to be pretty buoyant last year, didn't it? There was still a lot going on in summer.
There was. Look, the season picked up in the summer. And I think this year we're willing to argue, and Sabiha and I were having this discussion on the drive over, that we should keep the season going in the summer as well, because it's not like the city clears out.
Yeah, it doesn't clear out nearly as much as it used to, I think. And I think that people, as they stay here and live here more, they want to see theater, they want to go to these events, especially because they're inside in the evening, in the summer. I think, absolutely,
yeah,
that's a great idea.
A lot more indoor events happening this year.
It's a misconception, I feel, that theater shouldn't happen in summer. I think it should go throughout the year, because now we have shortage of time to do theater. That much theater is happening in Dubai, so we need to make up for it in summer now, I think.
Yeah, what about like extending? Because sometimes it's only over the weekend and, you know, it's not always easy to head down to places over the weekend. What about extending productions to maybe last a week?
Yeah, the season could actually be the same number of shows. It's just that if each one were two weekends or three weekends, it would spend the whole summer.
I think that's a great argument. And I think the realities of it come not from the directing or the acting point of view. It really would come from the financials or the producing part of things. Because there is a cost, a fairly high cost associated with doing theater here in the city. And so if we want to go longer runs, we need to see that return from a audience point of view, i.e. also from a financial point of view. Nobody's here to make money on this, but we have to meet basic costs, because if enough people start doing a loss, we're going to start seeing theater in the city going down.
That with all the laws that are changing, local theater here and local communities are being treated the same way that international companies are being treated. Like what we go through to put a show here is the same thing what Evita now, the production, is going through to put a show here. And we're like, in volume, we're like 1% of the volume of the people who are producing Evita. We're doing this from our own time, our own pocket, our own investment. And we are doing this for the love of theater. We're not getting anything from it. So this also we should take into consideration.
Yeah. Wesley, what have you got on the
I have some free things coming up. Free to produce and
we
free to go
free
to.
Things.
Yeah. So I'm working with DGG this year. I'm still doing the play reading series, which I have loved. And I think people who have come have had a great time. Our next play reading, our next play is called The Clean House by Sarah Rule. And it's, I think, a story that's perfect for Dubai. It's about a family who has a live-in maid who doesn't really speak the same language they speak. And she actually just wants to be a stand-up comedian. She doesn't. It's sort of a light, whimsical play. And the dynamic she has with the family, she actually hires a friend of hers to do all the cleaning for her while she can sort of work on her comedy. And she's Brazilian, they're American or British. It doesn't take place here or anything, but I still think it has a lot. It has a lot to offer audiences and theater, sort of theater participants here in Dubai. So that's going to be something to look out for in the next couple of weeks, the Clean House play reading. Also with DDG, I'm going to be doing a stage manager workshop. My background is all in stage managing and producing. And so I thought it was it's a great thing to share. It's a great skill set to share. Last month or 2 months ago, we did a workshop on sort of the importance of a stage manager. What is a stage manager? Bringing in different people and saying, do you need one? Do you want one? Overall, what is it? And so this one is going to be much more fun. It's going to be how to stage manage. So I'm already buying a lot of binders and noisemakers and little flags that go up and down and telling people really what it is about timing, what it is about organization, what the fun and dramatic parts about stage managing are. And it's sort of, it's my bread and butter. I love it. So that's also going to happen next
week. So do we need stage managers?
Yes.
God, yes.
100%.
Always.
Remind us, what is a stage manager?
So a stage manager is in charge during a show of everything technical that happens. If you're an audience member and there is a light change, if there's a set change, if anybody is lit or costumed, they have been responsible for making that happen when it happens. Also, they coordinate all the rehearsals that happen. They make sure everything is safe, everything is organized, making sure people are on time, which doesn't always happen in Dubai. We all kind of look around the room and roll our eyes. And so they really have an integral part from the very beginning of the rehearsal process through the end of the show. And they're one of the true unsung heroes of any theater, from Broadway to here to tiny community theater. A stage manager is key for what you want.
Stage Door.
Yeah, we've got our theatre crew in Stage Door this week, the first time for the brand new year. Wesley's with us, theatre producer. We've also got Gautam from The Junction, Sabiha, who's the festival coordinator of Short and Sweet, and Rosine, who just does about everything. She can sing, dance, mime, sweep the floor, production, everything. Just before we went to the news, Wesley, we were talking about some of your projects, and I think you've got another one that you wanted to tell us about.
Well, no, actually, I don't. I just wanted to mention that DGG is going to... They have not confirmed... exactly the dates yet. Well, rather for publication, they haven't confirmed the dates yet, but they're bringing back Love, Loss, and What I Wore, which is very exciting. Some of us know that, some of us don't know that, and so that's just a really nice thing.
That just keeps coming back time and time again. What's the magic about this one, do you think, Gautam?
I think it's a fantastic story where you're bringing out a lot of the local culture. I think Penny talked about it last time, where she had some fantastic actresses doing different accents and really entertaining the audiences. So this is, I think, about the third or fourth run that I've seen of Love, Loss, and What I Wore in the City. And this seems to be by far probably the most entertaining one.
Yeah, these are really great shows. The shows that are sort of sequential monologues that just talk to the audience, that come from a very real place, and you can find something about them that really speaks to you as an audience member. Even if one of them you can't, the other one you can. It's a really fun time, and you feel like you're in the same room with all of these women. And there are a lot of plays like that, and this one just has seemed to really take root in Dubai for some reason. It's really fantastic to have.
I think it's because even though it's set in New York, if I'm
originally,
honest.
Yeah.
And then, but the way the actresses bring it or tie it into the UAE culture with all the different accents, the different stories, the way you can relate to it, you know, everyone can relate to it at least one way or the other, because they've got Indian accents, they've got British accents, they do the whole lot. And I think that sort of ties it up in UAE, and it's so poignant here because everyone knows what they're talking about.
So people won't tire of it. They'll go back and see a different take on the same play.
I certainly will.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right, so that's the Dubai Drama Group. Gautam, you're working on something as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'm doing my next play, which I'm directing. It's going to be Almost Main, and that's coming up on the 4th, 5th, and 6th of April. So we're a little while away.
Yeah, plenty of time to prep.
I know. And we are well into rehearsals right now. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So we've got about 17 actors from all over Dubai being part of that. And it is this whole sequential monologue thing. But only thing, it's not a monologue. It's a sequential duologue. We've got two actors. There's 9 scenes all happening in the small town of Almost in the state of Maine in the U.S. And it's all about different facets of love. So people falling in love, people falling out of love, all happening in one night in one little town. And they're all interconnected stories.
Do you need to start rehearsals from now, like January for April?
Yes.
I mean, how many rehearsals do you get through? Is it a certain night every week, or is it 5 nights a week? How does it work?
So it starts off very simply at about 3 nights a week. And not every actor is required for every single rehearsal.
Okay.
And then it kind of ramps up to 4 nights a week. And as we get really close to production, 2 weeks out, we get to 5 or 6 nights a week.
Yeah, the usual rule of thumb before tech week, and that you start rehearsing all of the sound and lights and things, before that, it's about an hour of rehearsal per page of script is usually when you're directing a piece or stage managing a piece, when you're planning those rehearsals out. That's usually what you aim for, is about
one page.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you don't spend an hour on each page, but if you're looking at the overall rehearsal schedule, if you assume it's an hour and a half long show, that's usually about 90 pages, so you're looking at 90 hours of rehearsal, and you're talking, the cast usually has full-time jobs, all of this, you have to start months and months ahead.
Do people burn out and say, we've done it far too many times, we don't want to rehearse it again?
Oh, if you're lucky, they do, but usually you're just so stressed for time. Yeah, I mean, and there are lots of little games you can play. You can switch roles, you can do the whole show backwards, you can do everything that we did in the complete works of William Shakespeare, actually. But if you're lucky, people feel like they really have it under their belt, but usually the opposite is true. Usually you're racing until the end and you're saying, we start tech week in 1 week, we feel so unprepared, and it magically all comes together at the end.
But can you over rehearse, do you think?
Yes, you can overplay much more than over rehearse. If, like, when you want to push it more and you want to give it all about yourself, it doesn't become natural anymore. You overplay. There is nothing called over rehearsing, because when you are playing it on stage, when we play for 1 weekend. In other countries, like I come from Beirut, we play for 3-4 weeks. For 3-4 weekends, you come so attached to your character, and you become so much expressing yourself as your character, even in your daily life and your daily job, that it's part of you. It's not overplayed.
So when you walk off stage, you don't leave that character behind.
No, it becomes like the last performance. Usually, we say goodbye to our characters. It's a very wet performance. Like everyone cries. But after 3 weeks of performing,
yeah.
But what about, you know, after you're done, you know, the play is over, everything's done. How difficult is it to get out of character? Because you've been doing it for so long, maybe 4 months of doing
you
it.
You have the blues. You always have a week at least of blues after the play is done.
Yeah, a lot of it depends on experience too, right? If you're used to being in rehearsal for one show in the day and then playing another part in the evening, you become really good at as they say, wearing your character like a cap, that you can put it on and take it off very quickly. And that's part of the profession of acting, right? Mm.
And then we nag all the time about the heavy schedule of rehearsing and performing. The next day the play is over, our life is empty. What do we do now?
Withdrawal symptoms. And it's very common. And a lot of actors will immediately sign up onto their next play after the current one is over, because they get severe withdrawal symptoms.
Yeah. Sure. So they'd rather have a character on the boil, be reading about him, be reading the lines, than not have anything.
Absolutely.
And the same is true for all technicians too, right? If you consider yourself a set designer, you want to work on designing sets forever. And so you take on two or three projects at a time.
Yeah.
How easy is it for someone to go from one play to the other play? Like, should there be like a gap? I'm talking about acting. Should there be like a gap to differentiate between the characters?
I've certainly worked on shows where I've had to perform or stage manage three shows a day that are all different, and so it all depends on the individual person. And I think a lot of that does come down to experience. That if you're the kind of person, like it seems we all are, where a show ends and you immediately want to jump right back in, that's fantastic. There's some people that, you know, need to have their weekends free for a little bit, or need to just sort of be themselves for a little bit. And there's some people who want to do three at once.
Look at it from an acting point of view in films. I mean, you got Daniel Day-Lewis, who does his one movie in 5 years, and then you've got other actors who are doing like 6 movies a year. It really depends on the appetite that you have as well.
And I suppose the offer of the work. I mean, if the offers aren't coming in, I suppose you're technically resting, aren't you?
You're auditioning is what you're doing.
Yeah, and that's what a lot of the things that happen also, it's a directing thing. If you have a strong director, an experienced director, he can direct also the actors the way they should be, the way they should go into the character, the way they should play it on stage. Even if you're doing 2 rehearsals at the same time for 2 different plays, the director has to be a strong one to keep you in.
I was just saying that in short and sweet, you usually end up having an actor doing more than one play in the same evening. In fact, 2 years ago, the actress who won the Best Actor Actress Award did 2 of her plays in the same evening, and both went to the finals.
Wow.
And she performed again in the gala twice, and she won the Best Actor for one of them, Bindu. So, yeah.
How does that work? Like,
very carefully.
Rehearsing lines.
That's where you have a good stage manager helping to organize all rehearsals and everything.
And a good director.
Keep plugging that.
Now, Wesley, you brought along a story that you want to share with us and get our thoughts on.
It hit home with me. This is a study that was done recently. The headline is, "As tourist-friendly musicals take over, Broadway no longer belongs to playwrights." And as we've been doing these play readings, as we talk in Dubai about really small theater, I realize and I sort of lament sometimes that these giant shows that get all these accolades are big musicals, oftentimes not original musicals, Hamilton excepted, obviously. But in Broadway especially, these 41 Broadway theaters, now the majority of them are musicals that have been going on forever. Mm-hmm. And so it means there's not a lot of room for new plays and new playwrights and new directors to come up.
Yeah.
And so it's no longer the goal for them to go to Broadway. They go somewhere else. And it used to be seen as, I'm going to have a show on Broadway.
Yeah,
and I'm
going
to... It's, you know, the great white way, they say. And so it means that they have to find other avenues. And a lot of this comes from the fact that they cleaned up Times Square and cleaned up New York City in the 90s. And so they made it much more of a tourist destination. And when you're trying to book trips with a tourist agency or anything like that, they have posters of all these giant musicals. So you want to go see this show-stopping big giant musical, and you actually lose out on a lot of the art. And a lot of what I would consider the art anyway. But a lot of these are huge commercial, very formulaic musicals. And so it's not, and it makes me a little bit sad that it used to be the vast majority of them were really famous plays that we like by Arthur Miller, by playwrights that have become famous. And now the Susan Laurie Parkses of the world, nobody's heard of because their shows don't get put up on Broadway because people want to extend Phantom of the Opera for another 35 years. It's been there for 30 years now.
Gautam, thoughts on that?
Look, Wes is absolutely right. How long have we been seeing the same things again and again? We'll go back and see them. I mean, I personally have seen Les Mis about 6 times.
Yeah.
So every time I'm in New York, I'll catch a show of Les Mis. So I'd agree with you 100%, Wes. We're not seeing a lot of original and new content coming out. And what we are seeing coming out is catering to a very touristy audience that may not be a very theater savvy audience, right? They may not really get the nuances of it.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's also about, you know, if you're thinking of tourists and people who are going to visit a place, they're not necessarily going to go for, you know, watching small productions. I'm sure it's got great value and, you know, you discover great things. But just seeing like the big names is something that tourists would be looking out for.
Yeah, and it makes you want to go to the city because of the show
exactly.
name. When some of the best theater I've ever seen has been those small stuff.
Mm-hmm. And tourists will want to catch a big name play. Like, they're not going to go for something experimental, something new,
yeah.
which, you know, I'm in the city for a short period of time. I want to go for something well known. I want to go for The Lion King, for example, or one of those.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yes, but again, theater lovers will go pick the small productions to see, and the tourist one will go to touristic places.
Exactly.
You know, it's
just the way it is.
It's the way it is.
We got to give credit to our audiences and make them see good theater.
Well, guys, it's been a great conversation. Wesley, Gautam, Sabiha, and Rosine, thanks so much for joining us on Stage Door this week.
Thank you so much.
Stage Door.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.